Avodah Zarah Daf Tezayin, and we will begin on Daf Tezvav Amud Beis, 9 lines from the bottom. Amar Avdimi Bar Abba, Kederach Sh'asu Lemkalev T'Kachavim, just like one may not sell weapons to an Akum, Asu Lemkalev T'Yisrael, so too may one not sell weapons to a Jewish robber. Ask the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what is the situation that we are referring to? Idachash the Kotel, if it's such an individual who we're concerned would kill Pshita, it's obvious that we may not sell weapons to him. Hainav Kachavim, because he's certainly in the same category as an Oiv Kachavim. Ask the Gemara, Vidaloi Kotel, and if it's not such an individual who we have such a concern about, Amayloi, why may we not sell weapons to him? Answers the Gemara, Loilam, the Loikotl. We're referring to such an individual who we're not concerned would kill. V'achamai skinen. Rather, what kind of individual are we referring to here? B'mishamuta. As the Rishonim explained, it's such an individual who normally doesn't kill, but if he's put into a situation where he comes to rob, and if he's challenged and he feels that his life is in danger, he will kill. Because the zim the avilat suli nafshe, sometimes he does kill in order to save himself. And such an individual is an individual that the Gemara means that we shouldn't sell a weapon to. Continues the Gemara Tana Rabbanon, Ein Meichalam Terisim, we may not sell shields to Akum. V'yesh Amrim, Meichalam Terisim, we may sell shields to Akum. My Tama, ask them, what's the reason that we may not sell shields to Akum? Ilaymad Mishum de Magnalayu, it's because they are used to protect themselves. Ihochi, and if we're saying now that we're so strict about what we may and may not sell to Akum, and even items that aren't used to do damage, but just give them protection is our osur. Ask the Mar Hyoka Filu Schit Visari Namiloi, then we shouldn't be able to sell them food, wheat and barley, for the same reason. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav. Rav explains that what are we referring, it's impossible to live in a world where we won't sell them such basic items. And as the Rishonim explain, one explanation is because Mishum Eva, if we refuse to sell the Akum these items, we clearly could cause a situation of animosity between them and us. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that we can't survive. It would be impossible for us to live if we can't sell them items from which we have panasa. Hachinami. But since when it comes to something like shields, it is possible to survive without selling them, therefore, says the Gemara, we should not be allowed to sell them shields. Ikad Amri, however, there's a different version that says, Trace Hainotam Deloy, the reason we may not sell them shields is because the Chisholim Zeinayu, once they finish using their weapons, Kotlib Gavayu, they use the shields as weapons. And that's why we shouldn't sell them shields. The Yeshayimrim, but the Yeshayimrim hold, the Meichalam Trisim, we may sell them shields, because Chisholim Zeinayu, if they're left in a situation that they lose their weapons, what they do is Marki Arki, they run away, and they don't try to use the shields as weapons. And says the Gemara, Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rav Avua, Halach Yeshayimrim, the Halach is indeed like the Yeshayimrim, and we're allowed to sell them shields. Amr Rav Adabar Hava, Ein Meichalim Ashoshi Yishabarzo, we may not sell them thick pieces of iron, Mai Tama, Vishim Dechol Shminai Kli Zayin, they form these pieces of iron into weapons, and therefore we may not sell them to them. Ask the Gemara if that is a concern. These are different types of metal shovels. It should be prohibited to sell them, these types of shovels, for the same reason that they're going to turn them into weapons. Amrav's, so which the Gemara answers, Amrav's vid, v'parasulo handa. These, we're referring to what type of metal may not be sold to them. Indian metal, which can be easily, which was used exclusively to make weaponry, that may not be sold to them. However, continues the Gemara, v'idah the kamaznin, now that we do sell them weapons, or we sell them iron, why is it permitted? Arav Ashi, whom do we sell it to? L'parsoi de magnolon. We sell it to the parsoi who use it for their army and for their police force who protect us. Ritva asks, why does the Gemara even have a havamina that we should not be allowed to sell them parzol ahandor, this Indian metal? Isn't this, if they go and they turn it in those, that metal into weapons, that's a new item which I didn't sell to them, and clearly it shouldn't be, and it should be no worse than what we discussed the other day, that lifnei evil asita michshel applies by Akam, but not lifnei delifnei. Says the Ritva that the only time we could apply the heter of lifnei delifnei by an Akam is if the Akam who we're selling or giving the item to is not the Akam who's going to do anything wrong. So that's where we established, the Gemara established the rule that we say lifnei evil asita michshel by Akam, but not lifnei delifnei. But here, where the concern is that the very same Akam to whom we're going to sell this Indian metal is the Akam that's going to turn this metal into a weapon. Here we don't have the heter of lifnei delifnei. Furthermore, the Rambam says that this heter that our Gemara says that we're allowed to sell weapons to those who protect us is only if to sell it to the government, who gives it to the army and to the police. But to sell weapons to individuals who take those weapons and use them for dangerous purposes, certainly one may not sell them any weapons. I saw interesting Shiloh that the Paiskim discuss. So how could Israel, we know is a country that manufactures and sells weapons, how could they sell weapons if Al Gemara is saying that selling weapons is only permitted to people who protect us? So one heter that I saw is that given that the weapons are primarily produced for the for Israel itself, and then they use those and that's for defense of Eretz Yisrael, so therefore since that's the primary purpose of the manufacture of weapons, and therefore the selling of the weapons is only to support the industry of manufacturing weapons, that's why it is a heter. Another heter that I saw is that if they sell it to countries where Jews live and the army and police of those countries protect the Jews in those countries, which of course, those, according to this terrorists, it would be a problem to sell it to countries where Jews don't live or countries that don't treat Jews properly. Says the Gemara, Agolim v'siyachim. Interestingly enough, there's also Machloikus Rishonim that suggest that now that the Gemara established that there's a heter to sell weapons to governments who protect us, when we discussed and we'll continue discussing in our shiur today that one may not sell a Behema Gasa to an Akam, here there may be a heter to sell Behema Gasa because animals, particularly horses, were used in the army. Other Rishonim say that the heter that we just learned, this is the opinion of most Rishonim, the heter that we just learned regarding weapons doesn't apply to Behema Gasa. The Mishnah said that we may also not sell agolim v'siyachim, calves or young donkeys. Rabbi Yehuda said, however, if they're maimed, if they're shvura, we may sell it. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda matav shvura. Rabbi Yehuda says we're allowed to sell them, we're allowed to sell maimed animals, because since these animals cannot come well, there is no concern that by seeing that by seeing this animal by the goy, people will think that you're allowed to sell animals to a goy. The opinion of the Rabbanan, as we learned in the Mishnah, is that the Rabbanan hold that the person who sees this animal by the goy will not know that it was sold to him when it was a shvura, but rather perhaps mistakenly believe that it was sold to the akum when it was a shlema, and therefore we may not sell them a shvura. Amrloi, so the Rabbanan asked to Rabbi Yehuda, why are you so lenient in allowing the shvura to be sold, because you're certain that the animal will be slaughtered? Why should we not be concerned that they're going to keep the animal alive to use for mating? The kivin the marbina of yoledus also is shuye, and therefore it should be us or even according to you to sell it. Amlam lechashatelet, they're not used for mating. Alma lemekabela zacher, and as the Rishonim explain, Rabbi Yehuda certainly cannot be debating the Rabbanan over a fact, and therefore explain the Rishonim, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are agreeable that this animal is able to have to mate and have offspring. The question comes up is that Rabbi Yehuda says that even though it's technically possible, a person will not use such an animal for mating because the animal is weak and it will only get weaker through the mating process. Whereas the Chachamim say that people will still use such animals for mating, and therefore one should not be allowed to sell such an animal to an Akum. Furthermore, there's a machloikus rishonim that, based on the explanation that our Gemara just gave, perhaps it's only a female shvura suggests some rishonim that Rabbi Yehuda is makel, because there, as we just explained, it's unlikely that the person is going to hold on to such an animal for mating purposes. But a zocher, a male shvur who's maimed, where it's much less of a concern of weakening the animal by through the mating process, Rabbi Yehuda may agree with Rabbanan. There are, however, other Rishonim that disagree, and they say that Rabbi Yehuda is always makel, whether it's a male or a female. We furthermore saw in the Mishnah a machloikis between the Rabbanan and Ben Beseira regarding a horse. Ben Beseira matabesus. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Ben Beseira matabesus. The malacha that a horse does is a malacha for which there is no chiyuv chatas, because since the horse is used for riding, and as we explained extensively in our previous shiur, there's a concept of chai noises atzmai, so it's not really considered a malacha, and therefore the reasons for not selling a behema gasa to an akum doesn't apply by a horse. Actually, the Achrayim point out that from here we see that even if we hold that the Isser Tchumim of Yud Beis Mil is an Isser Deraisa, it's still not, there is no, it, using an animal, there is no Chiyuv Tchumim by an animal. Because otherwise, there would be a case, even according to Ben Beseira, where a horse could be over a Deraisa, when it goes outside of the Tchum of Yud Beis Mil. Rabbi Oyser, Rabbi on the other hand, says one may not sell a horse to an Akum, mnei shnei dvarim, for two reasons. Echem shem taras kli zayin, one it was used as a weapon, the Gemara will explain in a moment, vechem shem taras pgasa, as explains the Gemara. Bishlam taras kli zayin, the fact that it's used as a weapon, because ikel the kotl beschufei, horses are at times trained to kill with their feet. Ask the Gemara, El Ataris Behema Gasa Maihi, what does it mean that it's used as a Behema Gasa? Am Rabbi Yochanan, because since the animal, even the horse, which is normally used for riding, L'chishiyaskin, when it gets older, Matchina Berchai B'Shabbos, it's no longer used for riding. At that time, it's used to run the grindstone, the millstone. Therefore, it's considered a malacha on Shabbos, which, as we explained in the previous shiur, is the reason one may not sell a behemagasa to an akum. However, Amr of Yochanan, halacha ben Beseira. The halacha follows the opinion of ben Beseira that you are allowed to sell a horse. Interestingly enough, I saw from the Chazon Yecheskel that why does Rebbe have to give two reasons? The reason of Behema Gasa and the reason of Klei Zayin, why the Rabbanon hold you're not allowed to sell a horse. So explains the Chazon Yecheskel that if the concern was that it's treated like a Behema Gasa, so as we learned in the previous year, if you sell it through a broker, that Locha Behema Gasa doesn't apply. That's why Rebbe had to come up with the reason of Klei Zayin. If, on the other hand, we only had the reason of Klei Zayin, going back to what we discussed earlier in our shir, that it was selling them to the government who protects us, then the reason of Klei Zayin weren't applied. That's why Rebbe had to come up with both reasons, he had a combination of two reasons, of Behema Gasa and Klei Zayin. Ask the Gemara, Ibailhu, Shor Shapetem Mahu. What will be the halacha if somebody sells the Akum a fattened axe, which is going to be slaughtered? What is the halacha? May we sell it such a shor to an Akum? So ask the Rishonim that we learned in the previous year that whenever we could have an explanation, wherever we could assume that the animal that's being sold to the Akum is being sold because the Akum is going to be used for Shechita, the halacha is that we're allowed to sell such an animal. So ask the Rishonim that clearly in this situation that the Gemara is speaking about, where it's a fattened animal, which is certainly normally used for slaughter, it should be mutter to sell such an animal to an Akum. Why does the Gemara even have a question? So I saw a number of explanations. One explanation is the explanation of Rabbeinu Tam, that our Gemara is talking about a shor that's not yet fat, it's only going to be used to fatten. And that's where the Gemara is asking if such a shor may be sold to the Akum. Other explanation, very much connected to what we discussed in our previous year, that we're referring here to a situation perhaps where the animal, we're referring here perhaps to a situation where the purchaser of the animal doesn't say that he's going to use it for shechita. And we explained yesterday, certain Rishonim say that we only could sell it in a case where the buyer says that he's going to use it for shechita. Or as we explained in the previous year, that the animal was being sold to a katzav, to a butcher. Our Gemara is referring to an animal that's not being sold to a butcher. And one more teretz that we shouldn't say is, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, Shor Shalpetem actually ultimately could be more useful for working if we let it get skinny again. And therefore the Gemara's question is very well understood. It could be that a regular shor, which isn't so value, which never really has at any time such great value for working, we could assume that when somebody sells such an animal, he's selling it for shechita. But a shor shapetem, as the Gemara will soon explain, can become extremely valuable as an animal to work. We have to be concerned that that's what it's being sold for, and we can't assume that it's being sold for shechita. And the Gemara explains the question. Tabayla Rabbi Yehuda, Tabayla Rabbanan. The question that we're now posing is a question both according to Rabbi Yehuda and both according to Rabbanan. Tabayla Rabbi Yehuda, at Kan Lashar Rabbi Yehuda, perhaps, where did Rabbi Yehuda say that we're allowed to sell an animal to the Akum? El B'Shfura, only by an animal that is maimed, the way osl klamalocha, that can never come to be used for work. Aval hai, the kimashale, that if we wait around and we make it skinny again, osl klamalocha, therefore it's osl to sell the akum such an animal. Oidoma, on the other hand, we could say afil rabbonin, loikos rehosom, Elo, where did Rabbanan say we're not allowed to sell an animal? The Sama Lava Shchita Koi. We're speaking about an animal that isn't being used for Shchita. We have no reason to believe it's going to be used for Shchita. We have to assume that he's going to hold on to it. Even if he can't use it for working, he'll use it for breeding. Aval Hai, a Shosha Petim, the Stam Lashchita Koi. People don't keep such animals for breeding. These are the kind of animals that are kept for shechita purposes. Perhaps I feel Rabbanan Shor, the Rabbanan will agree that we could sell such an animal to the Yaakum. Toshma, Dom Rabbi Yudam Shmuel, Shabes Rebbe, Haimakrivin, Shor Shapetim, Beyoim Edom. The Yaakum would take the animals of the home, of Rebbe's home, to use them to bring a carbon on their holiday. Chisa Aber Vavin, Rebbe spent $40,000, Shema Kirin Asayim, to push off that it shouldn't be brought on that day. El Lamacher, rather on the day after the holiday. Chisa Aber Vavin, then he spent another $40,000, Shema Kirin Asayim, that the animal should not have to be delivered alive, El Shachet, it should be delivered already slaughtered. And then Chisa Aber Vavin, then he spent another $40,000, Shema Kriven Isaacalikar, that he shouldn't have to bring it at all. Lai Tama, why did Rebbe want to bring the animal that was fat, already slaughtered? Because we was concerned, Lamashim Dasul Shishuye, because he didn't want to bring, he held that a sharp petem may not be brought to the Yaakum. Ask the Gemara Ulatameich Shema Kriv Noisai Yoim Lamacha Maitama. If that's going to be the entire reason, so why did Rebbe accomplish by postponing that instead of bringing the animal on the day of the holiday, he brought it the next day? Ella Rebbe Meekamil Saboy. We can't bring a raya from Rebbe's situation, because Rebbe really wanted to create a situation that he shouldn't have to bring these animals at all. But he knew that he can't go from a situation where they were demanding that he bring the animal alive and that they use the animal for carbon to a situation where he should be entirely exempt. The sava yaakov asa purta purta. It should be done slowly. And therefore the entire situation of Rebbe is not a raya. The Rishonim, of course, ask, we've been learning in our Masechta that we're now to provide animals to the Akum to bring for Avodah Zarah. Yet here we see that that's exactly what they did from Rebbe's home until he was able to ultimately avoid it. So why was Rebbe allowed to participate in this way? So I saw two answers in the Rishonim. One answer is that Rebbe really gave it as a tax. There was a tax obligation to give these animals. A tax obligation is obviously not the same as a selling or entering into a voluntary transaction. Another pshat that I saw is that Rebbe was providing this to the home of the king, who certainly had more than enough animals available to bring as a carbon, and therefore Rebbe really wasn't providing him anything that he did that he really so desperately needed, and therefore it's not usur. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out, based on this Gemara, that this Gemara is teaching us a very important concept in life, that when one wants to undo something, he should do it with intelligence. He should do it with seichel. And seichel means that to understand that you can't have something abolished in one day. Rather, things have to move sometimes slowly. And that's why Rebbe, we see, worked deliberately but slowly in accomplishing this goal of being able to avoid giving the Akum these animals. Ask the Gemara, v'chimashalei, what are we concerned that the goy, the Akum, is going to hold on to the animal? Bari v'avad melacha, will it be able to do work? It's a sharp petem. It's a fat animal. Why are we concerned that it ultimately will be used for work? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, Amar Lizvida, Batahira Mashinalei, if we hold on to this fat animal until it becomes skinny again, not only is it usable for work, but furthermore, Ovid al-Khatrain, it works double as well as the other animals that were originally not used for work. And therefore, one may not hold, one may, maybe a shor shel petem may be usur. Says the Mishnah, Ein markalam dumim v'arayus, we may not sell to the Akum bears and lions, v'kol davar shesh bei nezek rabim, anything that could cause damage. Ein binyan imahem, we may not participate in building with them, basiliki, basilica is a place where they used to have the court and kill people from them. Gardum is where they used to try capital offense. And since, as we know, Akum are not allowed to do Shvich Stamim, we may not participate with them in any way in Shvich Stamim. And building these structures is considered participating in Shvich Stamim. And as the Meiri points out, even though we know the rule is Dina de Machusa Dina, and we have to follow the law of the land, that is only as far as Dina Mamnus. However, says the Meiri, a very bechidish, since they didn't kill people fairly, even the court system where they tried and sentenced people to death was done in a way of Shvich Stamim, and we may not participate. Its stadia is a stadium, or bima is a another place as a stadium where they used to have bullfights and people would die, and bima is a platform from which they would hurl down people to their death. Al banim imahem bimusyos, we may participate in building with them a bimusyos, and according to Rashi, a b'mesiyah is a mizbeach, it's an altar made out of one stone. And even though, as we have been learning, the Akum may not worship Avodah Zarah, and not only may he not worship Avodah Zarah, we may not do anything to help him worship Avodah Zarah, says Rashi, the mizbeach is not considered an Avodah Zarah, it's considered a tashmish to tashmish, it's not considered an actual Avodah Zarah, and therefore we're allowed to participate. Other Rishonim, including Tosfos, disagree with Rashi. They say certainly one may not participate in building even a Mizbeach for an Avodah Zarah, and therefore they explain that Mizbeach is a form of a bathhouse, or it's a form of a beautiful building, or based on Chutzos, we could participate with them in building a bathhouse. However, even when we're building a bathhouse, which we're saying we're allowed to participate with them in such construction, when it comes to building the dome of this bathhouse where they would put the Avodah Zarah, also Livnois, it's forbidden to participate with them. The Ramosha has an interesting tshuva where he was asked by an architect if he could be hired to draw up the blueprints of a base Avodah Zarah. Reb Moshe says that if somebody's a Baal Nefesh, Yachmir, if somebody could avoid doing it, it's probably the right thing to do. But he says if it's a situation of Eva, where there's a concern that if he will avoid doing it, it could cause Eva, or he needs this job for his Parnassah, he's allowed to participate, because Reb Moshe says it's no different than, as Rashi teaches us, that a tashmish, the tashmish of Avodah Zarah is mutter, and this is certainly no worse. Being the architect of such a building is no worse than a tashmish, the tashmish. Similarly, I saw a tshuva both from the Michas Elazar and the Michas Yitzchak, if one is allowed to look at the clock that's on the steeple of a base of Avodah Zarah. They both say that a Baal Nefesh Yachmer, but a Mi'ikar Hadin Api Halacha, the clock is not part of the Avodah Zarah. On the contrary, they probably just put up the clock on that building, because typically the base of Avodah Zarah was the tallest building in town, and therefore if he didn't, one may look at that clock. Before we begin the Gemara, just a word of introduction. We're going to Mitzvah Shem learn in Masechta Chulin that if somebody shechs an animal who was a Mesukenis, who was very ill, now how do we know if the animal was kosher or not? So the Gemara says we have to do the following test. If the animal after it's slaughtered can pull out its foot and bring it back, then we see that the animal had enough strength and was not considered a dead animal. However, if the animal can't pull out and bring back its foot, it only could pull out its foot, we have to be concerned that it's only a spasm and the animal doesn't have enough vitality, and therefore the shechita of such an animal will not allow the animal to be eaten. We have to do this test right before the shechita. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chanan ber Rav Chisda, Vamalei Amar Rav Chanan ber Rava, Amar Rav, Chaya Gasa, when we come to a large non-domesticated animal, Harei Kebehema Dakla Pirchus. As far as this test that we're discussing now, it has the exact same status. Avloy L'Mechira. But as far as Mechira is concerned, Rav is saying that a Chaya Gasa is treated like a Behema Gasa, and as we've learned, a Behema Gasa, everybody agrees, may not be sold to an Akum. Vani Oimer, however, says Rav Chanan, I hold Afla Mechira, that a Chaya Gasa is treated like a Behema Daka. And as we learned in the Mishnah in our previous shiur, a Behema Daka is totally the minig. Makim Shinogu Limka Moichrim. In certain places there was a minig to be able to sell such animals, and therefore the Behema Daka could be sold. And now we're learning so too with Vidal Loch regarding a Chaya Gasa, Shloy Limka Emoichrim. In certain places the minig was not to sell. Says the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, "Ein Michael Amdum Varayis V'loy Kol Dovah Sheish Bei Nezek L'Rabim." We now let's sell them all these animals because there's a Nezek L'Rabim. So what is our Mishnah teaching us? Why may the Chaya not be sold to an Akum? Tama, this Bei Nezek L'Rabim, because they could cause damage. Halas Bei Nezek L'Rabim, if they don't cause damage, Shari. So clearly our Mishnah is teaching us that a Chaya Gasa may be sold. Answers the Gemara, there's no raya from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah perhaps is referring to an Ari Shover, an animal that, a lion that's maimed. And it's going according to the opinion of Yehuda, that holds that even a Behema Gasa, when it's Shover, may be sold to an Akum. But it could well be that a Chaya Gasa that's not maimed, everybody will agree, has the same status as a Behema Gasa, and it may never be sold to an Akum. Rav Ashi says a different teretz. He says, Tam Ari Shavu Eitz Melacha. Lions aren't animal that can be used for work, and therefore a lion is always in the category of Shavar, and that's why it could be sold, it could be sold to an Akum. Machloikus Rishainim, according to whom is Rav Ashi saying his teretz? Rashi seems to learn that Rav Ashi is saying that Stam Ari Shavar Hu Eitz Melacha, that an Ari is always considered in the category of Shavar, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, an Ari can be sold to an Akum. Whereas Taisa says that the way to understand Rav Ashi is that even though we've been learning a Machloikis, and that the opinion of the Rabbanan is that a Behema Gasa, which is Shavar, may not be sold to an Akum, that's only by Behema Gasa, that sometimes it's Shavar, sometimes it's maimed, and sometimes it's not maimed. Usually it's not maimed. But Dari, the Rav Ashi is teaching us, is always considered in the category of Shavar. Such an animal, says Taisvis, according to Rav Ashi, even the Rabbanan will agree, may be sold to an Akum. Meisvei, so ask the Gemara, a question on Rav Anan's opinion. It says in the Braisa, shame, Moichim Lam Begei Megasa, just like we're not allowed to sell Behei Megasa to the Akum, Kach Ein Moichim Lam Chai Gasa. So too we may not sell the Chai Gasa. And says the Braisa, Vafiru B'mokim Shem Moichim Lam Behei Medaka, even with the Minig HaMokim is that we sell them a Behei Medaka, Chai Gasa Ein Moichim Lam, a Chai Gasa may not be sold to them. Clearly, this Braisa, says the Gemara, is to Yufta, Rav Chanan Barava, to Yufta, that clearly says that we're not allowed to sell them a Chaya Gasa. Another version of this Gemara, says the Gemara, is Ravina Rami Masnisa Braisa. Ravina asked a contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa, or Mishani and Seder Teretz. He said, Tanan, we just learned in the Mishnah, Ey Marchalem Dubin Vayaris, Arayus. We're not allowed to sell them beers or lions, the kol, Dover Shesh by Nezek Larabim. So what do we see from our Mishnah? Tama, why may these items, why may these animals not be sold? This by Nezek. Halas by Nezek, if there wasn't a concern for damage, Meichrim, we would be allowed to sell it. Vermini, but as the Gemara, it says in a Brice that we just quoted, Shame, shame, Meichrim behem Gasa, just like we're not allowed to sell behem Gasa, kach ein Meichrim chai Gasa, we may never sell to an Akam chai Gasa. Even where there's a minig hamokim to sell them a behemadaka chayigasa ein meichrim. So clearly it says here that we're not allowed to sell chayigasa everywhere, anywhere. Mishani. And how does Ravina resolve this contradiction? By reshover. And a reshover, Valiva de Yehuda, is something that our Mishnah is teaching us we may sell. The Brice, on the other hand, is speaking about a healthy animal. A healthy animal, ichayagasa, may not be sold. Rav Ashi Amar, stamari, as we just said before, is always considered shavru etz malacha, and that's why it may not be sold. Ask the Gemara, maskalor Rav Nachman, man lema dari chayagasa. We're asking stiris that ari is a chayagasa. Here it's mashma, it can be sold. Here it's mashma, it can't be sold. Dilma chayadakihi. Ask the Mefarshim, how can one suggest that an Ari is a chayadaka when we know that the Ari is the melech shebechayas, is the king of all chayas? So can we assume that the Ari, which is the melech shebechayas, is a chayadaka? Answer the Mefarshim, that the Rav Nachman is saying that perhaps an Ari, when it's small, is considered a chayadaka. Of course, a mature Ari, the Gemara never had a Havamina, should be considered a chayadaka. The Gemara continues analyzing what we just learned from Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi daik masnisen. Rav Ashi made a deek in our Mishnah, or Moisef Tiyufta. And then he asks a question. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Marchalam Dubim Varoyas. We'll let us sell to the Akam lions and beer. We're not allowed to sell them Dubim Varoyas. For called Dovashesh Bein Nezek L'Rabim. So what do we see in our Mishnah? Tama, this Bein Nezek, because they could cause damage. Halas Bein Nezek, if it was such a situation where they can't cause damage, the Halacha would be the Meichrim. The Tama, and it's only an Ari that the Mishnah is saying they were allowed to sell. The Stam Ari, Shavu Eitz Malacha, because Ari can't be used for work, so it's always in the category of a Shvura. Ava Midachrina, different animals, Dava Malacha, that can be used for work. Loi is in the same category of a Behemoth Gasa, and may never be sold, and therefore says the Gemara, Tiyufta Rav Chanabar Rava, who says that a Chaya Gasa, under certain circumstances, perhaps may be sold. Tiyufta, indeed, he is refuted. Ask the Gemara, V'chai gasa mi yamai malacha avda. We have been discussing the chai gasa that could be sold. Ask the Gemara, that Ari can't be used, but other animals can be used. Ask the Gemara, what use can we have from a chai gasa? Amar Abaya, says Abaya, Omali ma Yehuda, I used to see in the house of Mar Yochni that he used a wild donkey to lead the millstone for grinding. We know from many places in Shas that Rav Yehuda was a Talmud both of Rav and Shmuel, and therefore many times when he said something, he was careful to say from which Rebbe he learnt it. Because as we learnt in Pirkei Avos, Kol Oyma Dover B'Shem Omroi, Mevi Gula Oyla. So says Rav Zeira, Kevina Be'Rav Yehuda, when I learnt in the yeshiva of Rav Yehuda, Omalon, he taught us, Gemir Nai HaMilsa, learn from me the halacha I'm just about to teach you, the Megava Rabbi Shmilei, because I heard it from a great individual. However, v'lo yedana, I don't recall imi Rav imi Shmuel. Have I heard it from Rav or Shmuel? Chai gasa, that the chai gasa is treated like a behemoth dakel pirchus to check its vitality if it's a kosher animal. Says Rav Zera, ki osla krukinoi, when I came to krukinoi, ash kachte l'Rav Chiba Ashi, I met Rav Chiba Ashi, v'yos v'kam m'shmei de Shmuel, that he was saying in the name of Shmuel, that harei chai gasa, harei ke behemoth dakel pirchus. Amina, so once I heard this statement, Shmamina, it must be that from whom Rabbi Yehuda learned this halacha, Mishmei de Shmuel Itmer. He learned it from Shmuel. However, continues Rav Zera, Kesoy le Sura, then I traveled to Sura, Ashkechel Rav Yirmiyah b'Yirmiyah, and I met Rav b'Yirmiyah, V'yosu kamal Mishmei de Rav, who was saying in the name of Rav, that Achaya Gasa Harek Behem Adaka Lepirkas. Amina, once I heard this, Shmamina, Itma Mishmei de Rav, Itma Mishmei de Shmuel. Rav Yehuda learned this halacha both from his Rebbe Rav and from his Rebbe Shmuel. Continues, Rav Zera saying, Selikas, ki Selikas Lahosim, when I ultimately came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkachte le Ravasi, I met Ravasi, the Yosef Kamar, Om Rav Chura Magurya Mishmei de Rav, Chaya Gasa, Harek Behemadaka Lepirkas. Amrilei, and I said to Rav Asi, V'loi Sovel Amar, the man Mar the Shmatz Rav Bar Yirmiyah, that Rav Bar Yirmiyah was the one that heard this from Rav. And why are you just saying it in the name of Rav Chumah Bar Gurya? Amar Li, to which Rav Asi said to me, Pasi Ochma, he called him a blackened vessel, because as the Mefarshim point out, Talmidei Chachamim are so engrossed in their learning that they don't have time to wash their clothing, which of course I sort of Mefarshim have a problem with, because the Gemara says that Talmid Chachamim is not allowed to have a revav, he's not allowed to have even a spot of grease on his clothing. And Mefarshim say that what the Gemara here means is that they didn't wear nice clothing, but the clothing that they wore was always clean. So he said to Pasi Uchma, Mino Amenoch Deshtayin Shematza. From the both of us, together we'll figure out how this halacha was given. That means, what happened was, Rav Chama Bar Gurya heard this from Rav, and then Rav Bar Yirmiyah heard it from Rav Chava. And in fact, the Mefarshim explained, this is Pshat, what it says in Pirkei Avos, Uknei Lecha Chaver. If you have a good Chavrusa, we have a good group of people learning together. Together, when the whole group learns, we come to the right pshat in the Gemara in the Torah. Etma Nami, Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Bar Yirmiyah, Amar Rav Chama Bar Gurya. We clearly see this line of succession. Amar Rav, Chaya Gasa Rei Behem Adak LePirkus. So we have the Rav Bar Yirmiyah learning from Chama Bar Gurya, who learned it from Rav. We learned in the Mishnah, Ein Boinim, we may not build with the Akum. We just learned in the Mishnah, Basilki Gardam Itzdaju Ubima. Om Rav Babachana Rav Yochanan. Shloisha Basilikas Hain. There are three types of basilikas. Shemalke of the Chavim. There are those basilikas that were used by the Akum, the kings who were Akum. Vishal Machatzos, or bathhouses. Vishal Oitzris. And there are those that are used for storehouses. Om Rav, and comments Rav, Shtayim Leheter, two of the types that I just mentioned are Mutter, to help build, the Echad L'Isser, and one is Osser. The Simen, and the way to know which one is Mutter and which one is Osser, is the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Lesser Malkeim Bezikim, that the one that are built for the kings, lesser are the ones that are Osser. V'Kedamri, however, there's another version, Amarava Kulam Leheter. They all may be, we may participate in building all of these types of basilicas. Ask the Gemara, Vatanan, haven't we just learned in our Mishnah, Ein Boinim Imoim Basilki Gardum at Stadio Bima? So we see that at least one type of basilica is Osir. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand our Mishnah is that the basilica of Eimishal Gardum Shetstadio Shalbima, this type of basilica, which, as we explained when we learned in the Mishnah, is used to kill people, that is the Mishnah, that is the type of basilica where one may not participate in building. But the other basilicas, the three basilicas that we just discussed, since they have nothing to do with Shvi'ch Stamim, a Jew may participate in building such a basilica.